Undocumented immigrants already in the U.S. are also facing uncertain times. 7 years ago, President Obama gave relief to more than 700,000 people who were brought to the U.S. without authorization as children. Those in good standing could receive a work permit and some relief from deportation. The Trump administration ended the DACA program, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Federal courts blocked Trump from ending the program immediately, but in a few weeks, the Supreme Court will hear a case that could seriously affect those people known as Dreamers. That includes Norma Ramirez. She's one of the people the Supreme Court will hear from in defense of DACA. Reporter Tipa Fernandez has been spending time with Norma. She told Tipa her story.
You might think suing the Trump administration feels daunting.
Can I keep blocking a little?
It is. For Norma Ramirez, it's stressful. She's 29 and lives in Pasadena in Southern California.
No, cut my breath. Oh,
I know, me too.
A few weeks ago, her friend Sonia suggested an early morning hike. Stress relief.
Nowhere in my life, in my narrative, was there ever like, you know, one day I'm going to sue the president. Like, nobody ever, you know, has that as
Who
a dream.
Says that?
Yeah.
But here she is, one of 11 plaintiffs taking the Trump administration all the way to the Supreme Court to preserve her right to stay in the United States, the only country she's known as home.
So I was born in Mexico. It's a place called Guerrero, which I don't know because I haven't been there since I was 5.
It's tempting to lump Ramirez into a familiar story of the innocent child brought to this country by parents who entered without visas. A young child who learns English, excels at school, and is American in every way but her passport. In some ways, this is exactly Ramirez's life. But in other ways, Ramirez is an example that every DACA recipient has their own story.
I remember I would go to school on my own, you know, elementary school, 5, 6, 7. I would take the bus on my own. You know, my parents, they'd be working. That kind of relationship, that kind of, I don't know, family, unity, really. We didn't have that.
For her parents, it was a struggle to pay bills and feed the family. Immigration status rarely came up.
I always wanted to go to a nice school, like Harvard, Yale, whatever, Stanford. I remember I had a conversation with my dad where I asked him about school, and he's like, oh, you can't go to college. And I was really confused. But he told me that it was because, you know, I was undocumented and we weren't going to be able to. And so that was a really hard time.
As her classmates were dashing off college applications, Ramirez realized just how different she was.
All of a sudden, all the things that I had worked for, there was no point. I mean, it breaks you, and then you have to find a way to still keep going.
When her dreams of going to Harvard and med school vanished because of her immigration status, she hit some lows and experienced feelings she's had to learn how to process.
I'll be angry, and I'll let you know that I'm angry, but I've learned how to manage that.
Ramirez began to realize that other immigrant children, other Latinx folks, might also need help overcoming these deeply rooted emotions.
I see it within my family, the way we were broken apart and how we're trying to figure out how to come together.
So she decided to become a clinical psychologist. She applied to study at Fuller Theological Seminary here in Pasadena.
You're welcome.
DACA, short for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, was signed into law by President Obama just in time to help Ramirez go to college. She was relieved, but when Trump halted the program, it jeopardized Ramirez's future and many others. But Ramirez did not join the street protests. Instead, she's working in her community. On a warm Sunday morning in Pasadena, Ramirez is staffing a table at Fuller Theological Seminary, where she's a PhD student. It's a conference for Latinx faith leaders, and she's asking them to take a survey to help identify the mental health needs of their congregants.
Sometimes it's easier to go to your faith leaders. There's a relationship built, there's trust, and so they're the first sort of responders that come in contact with families who are going through immigration issues, you know, and immigration enforcement, fear.
The fear that many immigrants in her community are living with gives rise to various mental health issues that people need help dealing with, she says. This is what drives Norma Ramirez. And when she's counseling someone in a therapy session, she knows what not to say based on her own experiences of what she calls incompetent therapists, like the one who castigated her for not having her younger brother help her fix her immigration status because he was born here and is a citizen.
She also said, you know, if you want to be a psychologist, you could go back to Mexico because you just need your bachelor's and you could do that there. You know, therapists have power, and then they're telling you that this is how you're going to get better.
Therapy needs to be culturally relevant, and Ramirez is at the fore of this movement at a time when people in her community are under increasing stress.
My hope is to be able to provide mental health resources at a low cost to Latino undocumented families.
Our communities need more folks that are well-informed about mental health.
Lisette Rojas Flores is Ramirez's thesis advisor and a leader herself in trauma and mental health therapy.
Norma is a very brave, inspiring woman, and she's learning also as a future psychologist the tools to be able to provide support for our communities.
While many people would be worse off if Ramirez could not continue on her path, she shuns the idea that she's a good and deserving immigrant, someone who should be able to stay at the expense of others.
DACA became such a big thing that everybody's like, DACA, DACA. What about the people that don't have DACA? What about our parents? They're criminalized and they're like, oh, well, it's their fault. It's like, no. Like, my parents are the reason why I'm where I am, and they need to be respected.
While she's one of the faces of the court fight, Ramirez also knows there are 750,000 other DACA recipients and their families waiting to see if she and her lawyers are successful. And yeah, that's a ton of hopes and dreams for one person to carry. For The World, Deepa Fernandez, Pasadena, California.